Hello, my name is Dylan McGrath, and this is All Things 5G, the podcast that takes a deep dive into the business, technology, and policy issues surrounding 5G. I am joined by my Keysight Technologies colleague and co-host, Colin Bauer. But before we get to Colin, just a couple of really quick housekeeping items. First, please visit the All Things 5G website at www.keysight.com/find/allthings5G. There you can browse previous episodes and access additional resources and register to receive alerts about new episodes and the chance to get some cool All Things 5G swag. More importantly, please subscribe to All Things 5G on whatever platform you use to get your podcasts. Okay, so now, hello, Colin from IMS. I understand that the teardown is in full swing there.
Absolutely, yeah. So the beautiful Keysight booth is being torn down around me. Demos are starting to be packed up after a pretty solid and good week here in Denver, the Denver Convention Center. So yeah, it was a good week for us.
Okay. When we last left you, you were on the ground there at IMS. Who are we going to hear from this time around?
Yeah, so I spoke to some great Keysight experts and thought leaders. Dana Bogdanoff, kind of a little mini celebrity for us.
Absolutely.
Dr. Joel Dunsmore, a big fellow, huge known around here. We actually gave away some of his textbooks that he's very well known here. Casey Latham from Pathwave, and also kind of running the Young Professionals Group. And I was also looking up to talk to a couple industry partners of ours, FormFactor and Virginia Diodes. So, yeah, we got some great insight to what they were showing here this week and kind of the industry trends that they were seeing.
Yeah,
I think the big takeaways is, you know, people are moving up the spectrum here and 6G's here. You know, people are working on 6G and the Canada technologies are being worked on now. So it's exciting stuff.
So a lot of talk about 6G at the IMS.
Yeah, it's a buzzword, right? And we had people definitely asking what the standards would be. And obviously we're a few years away from the standards being a thing, but people are working on the technologies, that's for sure. And, you know, people are also sprinkling a little bit of quantum computing here as well. So it was a good mix of, you know, current technologies and current capabilities and 5G implementation and also 6G, you know, leaning technologies. So it was a good mix.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you, Colin. And without further ado, sounds like you got some great interviews. Let's go ahead and skip right to them.
Sounds good. All right, I'm excited to be joined by a Keysight fellow, Dr. Joel Dunsmore. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hey, Colin.
So you're kind of a bit of a celebrity here at IMS. We did a little selfie contest with the book, and you've been coming to IMS's for a while. How's this one been?
That's actually been really good. It's the best one I've been at in 4 years.
Well, that's good.
Of course, it's the first one I've been at in 3 years.
Even better.
And so it's really nice to see everybody out. It's been much busier than I expected. I think people are ready to get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been busy here this week. And you've been kind of on our millimeter wave device characterization demo all week. How's that been going?
It's doing really well. We're looking, what we're demonstrating today is a millimeter wave digital predistortion and error vector magnitude constellation diagrams, all now on the PNAX, which is a brand new capability. And it turns out when you combine the vector network analyzer accuracy with these wideband modulated measurements, you can actually make measurements better in this environment than you can on any other test equipment. Our spectrum analyzers do a fine job, but this is a little better.
And yeah, you've been coming to IMS for a while. What industry trends have kind of jumped out at you this week?
In fact, it's two big trends I see here. One big trend is everybody's doing digital predistortion. You see people doing DPD levels, walked by one of our chip vendors' booth, and they had a big display about here's the new DPD program that we have that you can use. And it turns out that's one of the things that we're demonstrating as well as a way to characterize, if you do DPD, how good is it? And the DPD is really being used much more in the microwave FR2 bands, the 5G bands, because the devices don't work as well as devices down in lower frequencies. So the DPD is how they're going to pick up the signal to noise that they need to generate a good result. The second trend is everybody's talking 6G.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, I think right now talking about 6G is kind of like the new dad when he found out his wife is pregnant. So now he's talking about all the things his kids are going to do. And there's still a few months to go before, you know, 6G is really a mainstream thing, but there's a whole lot of early work going on.
Any particular candidate technologies that are really catching your eye on the 6G front?
You know, I think there's going to be a really challenge between things like the indium phosphide, and I hear people talking about getting silicon germanium up into the 6G world. I don't know that gallium arsenide is going to make it up there, but I think there's just everybody, all the research is going on to say what's the right technology, and I think people are trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah, and then standards are kind of a few years down the road. But
oh, yeah, I think we're a long ways from standards, although, honestly, I heard from one customer that they think they're going to show something in 2 years. So that's faster than we thought we were going to see demonstration projects. So time for us to get to work.
Absolutely, yeah. And then you're here tomorrow as well. You're here at the ARFTAG conference. You want to give a little highlight of that?
Oh, yeah. So ARFTAG is the Automatic Radio Frequency Techniques Group. And it was started about like 50 years ago for people doing automated tests, back when that was a new thing and using a computer with a test instrument was new. And now it's really turned into people doing precision measurements, metrology, and new ways of characterizing devices, new ways of taking the characterizations and improving your devices. So a lot of the talks about how can you improve the PAE of something. 6G has given us a whole new area of looking at how do you make measurements at 320 gigahertz. We'll have a demonstration of that. How do you actually know that you're making the measurements? How do you trace it? So we'll see folks from NIST, NPL, which is the British version, the National Physical Lab, folks from the German version of that as well. We'll all be there to describe how they're going to face these measurement challenges.
Awesome. Yeah, I was looking up to go to the last ARFTAG event in January, and tomorrow should be pretty good too, and you have another one in January again, right?
Yeah, they'll be with the Radio Wireless Week next year in January. I can't remember the exact date, but ARFTAG is kind of usually co-presented with the IMS show in the summer and co-presented with the Radio Wireless Week in the winter.
And we'll be back again at San Diego in 23 at IMS?
I will be there.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Joel, for joining the podcast.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right, I'm joined by one of our solution partners here, Virginia Diodes, and their VP of Business Development, Cliff Rowland. Welcome to the podcast, Cliff.
Thanks for having me.
I know this is an audio format, but you have a pretty cool demo that you're showing. You want to give us a rundown of what you guys got?
Yes, so we have several demos here at IMS this year that focus on 300 gigahertz work. In conjunction with Keysight, we are demonstrating a 300 gigahertz, 10 gigahertz wide modulated band over-the-air signal. So it uses an arbitrary waveform generator and up-conversion modules made by Virginia Diodes to show a live over-the-air of about 3 feet distance, 10 gigahertz wide modulated signal. I think we're doing 64 QAM on the modulation right now. So that's gotten a lot of excitement. Also featured in this demo is our brand new 300 gigahertz amplifier. So this was just rolled out of the lab here. From VDI, it is a 220 to 330 gigahertz amplifier, and it has about 30 dB of gain and about 6 dBm of saturated power, so we're excited about that as well.
So you're kind of really getting into the future 5G and almost into 6G stuff.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of interest over the last year and a half in that frequency range of 100 gigahertz up to 300 gigahertz. We've seen a lot of investment in research and development and getting the basic tools to develop devices in that frequency range for 5G advanced and 6G communications.
Well, awesome. So you've been walking around the floor here. What kind of exciting trends and things are you seeing?
Yeah, so we're seeing, I've been coming to IMS for about a dozen years now, and we used to be one of the few people actually working up at high frequencies, but here this year you see a lot of talk about millimeter wave, 5G, 6G, a lot of newer companies making components 100 gigahertz and up. So it's pretty exciting to finally see the stuff we've been working on for forever start to get a lot of attention and a lot of inertia. So it's pretty cool.
And what kind of applications are we looking here with just the millimeter wave? Is it just commercial comms? Are we getting aerospace and defense type applications?
Yeah, it's mostly commercial comms. There are some defense applications, but for the most part, it's still in the research phase for this frequency range. And so we're mostly seeing academic research, government research labs who are really looking into this and starting to figure out what's going on in this millimeter wave and terahertz range.
Well, exciting. We'll see you back in San Diego next year.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Cliff, for joining us on the podcast.
Yep. Glad to do it.
All right. I'm joined now by another solution partner, FormFactor, and the RF Market Segment Director, Giancarlo De Chirico. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Colin.
So you guys got a nice little collection of gray Keysight boxes over there. You want to explain kind of what you guys were showing this week?
Yeah, so Keysight is always a premium solution partner. So this week we're showing a collaboration that involves more than just you. It's a collaboration among four different partners and involves FormFactor, Keysight, VDI, and DMPI, Dominion Microprobe. And we're showing a 220 gigahertz single sweep broadband solution on wafer. So there's the Keysight is providing the, just to give you an overview of all the components, Keysight is providing the VNA that goes all the way up to 130 gigahertz, and then the frequency extender from VDI covered from 130 to 220 gigahertz. And then everything is brought together thanks to the DMPI probes, which can combine the waveguide signal and the 1 millimeter wave connector, connectorized signal down to the probe tips. And we are showing a Summit 200 probe station, which is like a fully automated probe station in this case, but there's also a semi-automated version of this to test devices in this moment in time. The trend is to test a lot of 5G and early 6G devices all the way in a broadband fashion.
Absolutely, yeah, and you've been walking the floor too, yeah. 5G, 6G, definitely being talked about, the millimeter wave. Yeah, what other exciting and big trends are you seeing this week?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of trends as far as ICs goes. I'm seeing a lot of trends in, yeah, again, it's like 5G and 6G. Early research, because of course the deployment of 6G, we're going to wait until like 2030
so. We're a few years away from that now.
But we're seeing a lot of trends in automotive as well, and aerospace and defense.
Yeah.
So those are the biggest trends for sure. And we're making sure that the device modeling and device characterization engineers have a solution when it comes to broadband frequency to characterize the devices.
Yeah, automotive radar has definitely been talked about.
Yes.
NDN, satellite communications. So, any other cool things to highlight, or you have a few other demos floating around here?
We have also a collaboration with Keysight, like for cryogenic solutions. Actually, last night we hosted an event like at our facility in Boulder, Colorado, where we bought last year like the HPD company. And so we're doing great things with Keysight over there too. I know there's a lot going on. There's a lot of noise and buzz around like quantum computing.
Yeah, so let's
so
chat
that,
about that.
That's another topic of interest.
How does quantum fit into an RF show, RF and microwave show?
Well, the desire to characterize some of the devices, RF devices and non-RF devices, like a very low temperature. I think that's really key, and that's why it finds actually some of the ramification actually in this world.
Yeah, it's fun to see this world kind of expand out and be old things 5G and old
things 5G and 6G.
Well, thank you, Giancarlo, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Colin, for
hosting
me.
Thanks for being a great partner, and look forward to seeing you next year in San Diego.
Likewise.
Back here at the Keysight booth, and I'm here with Daniel Bogdanoff, the test gear geek from Keysight and the host of the Keysight Labs YouTube channel. Welcome to the podcast, Daniel.
Thank you, Colin. It's really exciting to be here. I've been listening to the All Things 5G podcast for a while, so I'm glad you called me over. Let's do this.
Yeah, and I'm told this is your first IMS.
This is my first IMS. This is actually my first RF trade show that I think I've ever been to, which will maybe come as a surprise to a lot of folks, because I've been doing Keysight stuff and RF stuff for a while, but they finally let me out of my video studio to come over to a
trade show. Nice. So what do you think of the RF world?
You know, I love walking down the hallways and seeing, this is going to sound silly, but like all the shiny RF hardware. Like there's just something deep inside of me that loves seeing all the accessories and cabling and antennas and nicely machined cases, and just everything about it screams precision and screams RF. And to see it in this quantity is a little overwhelming, but also just, it's just eye candy for me.
Great. Yeah. Any exciting trends you've seen here while on the floor?
You know, everyone's going kind of maybe a different direction with what they're working on in the RF space. And I think IMS, you know, is maybe one of the biggest trade shows, probably in the US, definitely up there in the top five globally for RF stuff. It's going to sound like I was told to say this, but I'm not. The amount of Keysight equipment in other booths is astounding.
There are a lot of field foxes around this floor.
Field foxes and PN. Like, I'm standing here in the booth and in the Keysight booth, and when I look around, I can see at least six other pieces of Keysight gear, like power supplies up to PNAs, just from where I'm standing here, and I can only see like three other booths. So,
yeah, it's
crazy.
There's a lot of it, which is pretty cool to see. A lot of our solution partners are here, a lot of customers and partners, so it's great to see that they're actually using our hardware for their demos as well. So yeah, you come from more of the digital side and now here at our show. So where do you, as a bit of an outsider RF, where do you see this going and how is this helping 5G and, you know, even with 6G stuff being talked about a little bit as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we get into different 5G releases and then we get into 6G, the technology it's wide open in terms of how people actually implement, and the ability to test and see what's happening becomes more important on a full system scale. So in the past, it's like, okay, we'll check this amplifier, we'll check, you know, this mixer, but like now everything is so integrated and so together, like being able to simulate, design, and test the system as a whole and make sure everything works is just becoming more and more important, especially as we look at 6G. So I think that, for me, is really driven home here by what I'm seeing.
Well, awesome, Daniel. Well, thank you for finally joining us on All Things 5G, and I see the happy hour starting to be set up, so I won't hold you too much longer.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And also, if you like podcasts, check out the Double E's Talk Tech podcast. I do that for Keysight. We have like 10 episodes in the hopper ready to release as of today when we're recording this. So we have a lot more coming. That's EES Talk Tech in your favorite podcast engine. That's a great addition to the All Things 5G podcast. So check that out.
Perfect. Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Colin.
Okay, now I'm joined by Casey Latham, a business development manager for Pathwave here at Keysight. Welcome to the podcast, Casey.
Yeah, thanks. Great to be here.
So you've been walking the floor all week. What exciting things and trends are you seeing?
Yeah, so there's been, you know, quite a lot of different things that, you know, a lot of different vendors and a lot of researchers are looking into. You know, we've seen a lot of 5G, but we've also seen a lot of people that are thinking about the next generation or thinking about 6G, so going even higher in frequency and are also, you know, experimenting with different topologies and different designs for things like amplifiers and mixers to help make that a reality. So it's been interesting not only, you know, talking to these other vendors, but also going through some of the technical sessions and seeing what some of these, you know, graduate students, PhD students, and industry professionals and engineers are putting together.
And we have a lot of physical hardware here and a lot of power amplifiers, a lot of, you know, true hardware, but we also are showing off this Pathwave and simulation software. How do you see that kind of fitting in here and the rest of the industry?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting to be at the booth and to talk with customers as they've come up to us. And, you know, I think one benefit that Keysight has is we are able to go from the full workflow. You know, you can start with the design and the simulation software and go through all the way through the test and production. And so my focus right now is on the design and simulation part of it. And a lot of people that I've spoken with have had issues in their schematics. They're talking about, well, I have to use one application for simulation, and then I have to use another application for layout, and then if I want to do EM analysis, that's, you know, gosh, that takes forever, and you have to use another application. And so, you know, when they bring that up, that all fits right inside of one workflow inside of our Pathwave ADS software. And so that's been a really neat experience to hear from all of these different industry professionals to see exactly how we fit into that picture. And I think, you know, as you know, when we're talking about 5 and 6G, you have to put a lot of emphasis into the design cycle to make sure that before you go to test, you know exactly how your system's going to operate, so you don't have to go through, you know, several different runs in the fab. And so just being able to see all of this interest around that really is really exciting, because now some of our biggest customers are really taking advantage of the workflow.
Digital twin is definitely the hot keyword here.
Oh, yep, definitely.
And then you were also chair of the RF Young Professionals here at IMS. How did that go this week?
Yeah, it went great. We had a couple hundred people that joined us for our reception the other night. And so these were all engineers that were within 15 years or so of their undergrad degree. And so it was, you know, a lot of people that are in the same point in their career. And so it was really exciting to network with those folks and to hear about their stories and how they all have arrived and at IMS and how they've all ended up in their current position. And then we've also had a lot of really talented speakers that had sessions directly for the young professionals, like patents, you know, next generation technologies, and spectrum issues and coexistence and all of that stuff. But you know, one of the things we did just this morning on Thursday was we put together an RF interference fox hunt. So we had a spectrum presentation and then talked to the students about the importance of being able to find interference. And so we taught them how to use a spectrum analyzer. And then we got to the really fun part. We hid a bunch of transmitters around the entire convention center. You know, all, I think there's four floors here, but all four floors, went outside, exhibit hall, everywhere. And so we saw, you know, 20-something students just running around with our the FieldFox spectrum analyzers, trying to find the transmitters, looking under trees, under statues and everything, trying to find it, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're trying to get us to cheat and tell us where the transmitter was in the booth, but
we weren't giving it up. Yeah, they kept probing me, asking for more information to see if I'd fold, but I did not.
That's the way, man. Hey, they have a FieldFox, they can find it better than we could.
Exactly, right.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Casey, and it was a good show, and looking forward to next year.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's great to be back in person and to see, you know, so many different engineers that I've seen over the years at these. And, you know, we're really looking forward to San Diego next year.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Casey.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. And that brings to a close another episode of All Things 5G. Once again, please visit our website, www.keysight.com/find/allthings5G, and please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to get and listen to podcasts. Until next time, this is All Things 5G signing off.